The way I'm designed, whether I'm an introvert or an extrovert, is intentionally there because God designed me that way.
Mm-hmm.
And the body of Christ works best when we are all fully who we're created to be.
Welcome to More Than Small Talk. We're Susie Eller,
Jennifer Watson,
and Holly Girth, writers and real-life friends. We're inviting you to go deeper, become freer, and feel more connected.
So imagine you have a cup of coffee, a mug of tea, or a green smoothie in your hand,
and we're all hanging out in your favorite place together.
Hey, fourth chair friends. This week we are talking about introverts and extroverts, which is one of my favorite things that I have been studying for years. So I'm thrilled to have it finally be part of a conversation on More Than Small Talk. I'm also about to release a book, The Powerful Purpose of Introverts. So when I say introvert and extrovert, there are actually differences between the two when it comes to our brains and nervous systems. And so we will get into that, but I want to set it up in that way because this isn't a conversation about how much we do or do not like small talk, actually. We are created as introverts and extroverts. And so we want to explore that today with you.
Well, today's confession question is this. How did you find out you're an introvert? And I want to say that as we go into this conversation, this has really been enlightening for Jennifer and I, yeah, because we've been having these conversations with Holly behind the scenes. And some of the things I thought I was, Holly says I'm not.
Yeah, I mean like that.
So how did you find out you're an introvert?
Which all three of us are introverts. That's why we're phrasing it that way. But we do all have either a spouse or child who is an extrovert. So don't worry, extroverts. You're not going to get left out. We're just starting with this for our personal stories.
I don't think that I really realized that I was an introvert into my like late 20s. And then I was like, oh. So my whole entire life, my mom tells a story about me as a baby, said that I was super pleasant, loved to be around family. But by the end of the evening, I was done. So I crawled into my room and shut the baby gate, you know, and she said I didn't cry. But I was like, done with you. I'm out, you know. And so for me, that was a really good picture of how I was wired really early on to know that I loved people. I loved my family. I could be cute and smile and wave, but then I was done. So yes, but I don't think that I really understood until my late 20s.
Mm-hmm. And that story is actually a great example. So one of the differences is our nervous system. So we all have nervous systems that act like nets. If we're introverts, our nets have smaller holes. So we catch everything, which means we're observant. We're likely to notice when our friend has this little flicker of emotion go across their face. If the music gets turned up, we catch all of that. But it also means that our nets get fuller faster. And so even as that little kiddo, you intuitively knew my net is full and I need a break. I need some time to process, which empties our net. And then you're ready for more. Right. And so that's what I mean by it really has nothing to do with how much we love or enjoy people. It's just about the different ways our nervous systems are wired.
Yeah. So I found out that I was truly an introvert last week. As Holly and I were speaking, you know, I would have said introvert for years and years. And then I transition to what I said was ambivert. And that was my answer as we were prepping for this show. And Holly quickly said, Susie, there's no such thing.
So we're confused.
My answer is, how did you find out you're an introvert? Holly told me I was an introvert. But I thought that was fascinating because the net picture actually makes a lot of sense. I have from a very young age, known that there was a point, a tipping point, to where it was just too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed solitude in that moment. And then I would be okay. And if I pushed past that, there were consequences. And sometimes I would be in maybe a situation where I couldn't. There just wasn't that. And I would become irritable. Or I would become quiet, silent, you know, I wouldn't engage. And so anyway, inherently, I've known my whole life. Last week, I realized I am totally an introvert. So tell us about that.
Yes. And that's another great example. So another difference between the two is the neurotransmitter we rely on most. And so that's just a chemical in our brains that acts as a messenger. And extroverts use dopamine more, which is like caffeine. It revs you up. It motivates you to take action. It's released when you have an external experience like a lot going on around you. Mm-hmm. And so introverts have a level of dopamine that naturally already feels good to us. It's like we've had our one cup of coffee and we're like, I'm good. Mm-hmm. So if we have a lot more of that external stimulation coming in, it's like we are drinking an entire pot of coffee, which can be exhilarating for a while. But then you have that crash that you described where you're like, I'm done. I'm out. I'm irritable. I'm exhausted.
I'm silent.
I can't handle anymore. So we probably know what that feels like because we've done that with coffee, but that's sort of how it works with dopamine. And then introverts feel best when they are relying on a different neurotransmitter, acetylcholine, which is released when we turn inward, when we're able to focus on one thing, project, or person at a time, when we do quieter activities. It's more like herbal tea. Mm-hmm. So, which it seems like a lot of introverts actually love.
Yeah.
Herbal tea. Our producer, Kara, also an introvert, is nodding. So, so that's another difference is just those neurotransmitters. And then the third one is we use a different primary brain pathway. So extroverts rely on a brain pathway that is shorter and faster, which is why they're great. That like snappy little, you know, small talk, comebacks, think on your feet kind of stuff. Introverts use a longer, more complex brain pathway that actually goes through several different regions of our brain. So when we are responding, we're taking into consideration the past, present, and future, but it also means we actually need more time to respond.
Yeah.
So if you have an introvert in your life and you occasionally get a little bit of a blank stare before they respond, they are not holding back. They are using that primary brain pathway. And so I love those differences because to me, it means introverts and extroverts are complementary pairing.
Yeah.
When I look at the creation story, I see a lot of complementary pairings, day and night, land and sea, masculine, feminine. I think that's how it is with introverts and extroverts. So,
And what I love about that is it gives me relief. Like I've never had the snappy comeback.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I see people who do, and I'm thinking, how cool is that? My snappy comeback is when I climb in the car and I'm on the way home. And
exactly.
Like, oh, yeah. I could have said that.
But you're also reflective in a way that empowers you to be an excellent writer, which comes from that longer, more complex brain pathway.
Sure.
And I'm talking about this as if it's either or, but it's both and. We all have access to both sides of our nervous system, both brain pathways, both, you know, neurotransmitters. There's just one we naturally rely on and turn to more, especially in specific situations or with certain tasks. So the reason I say I don't really think there's ambiverts, maybe a tiny, tiny percentage.
Just shot us down.
It's like being right or left-handed, right?
Yeah.
So all day, every day, we use both hands for many different tasks.
Yeah.
But there's one we naturally gravitate to in certain situations. And that's kind of how it is with being an introvert and extrovert. So I found out I was an introvert in college at a campus ministry meeting. I was sitting on this gray carpet in this old building. And it was one of those moments that, like, I can still see it like a photograph in my mind because it was such a huge aha moment. Like, I'm not the only one wired this way. And not only that, it's okay.
Right.
It's more than okay. And so for a long time, I still mostly understood what being an introvert wasn't. But I've spent the last few years studying the other side of it about how we're intentionally designed as introverts and extroverts and the strengths as well as vulnerabilities that come with both of those. So it's been really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So someone can argue me with me about the ambivert thing if they want, but from what I've seen.
I don't like to argue.
Another introvert quality.
Yeah. So the reason that I called myself an ambivert is that I can turn it on.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I can turn
Absolutely.
It on. Absolutely. I can engage. I can talk with people. I can hang in there and I can actually enjoy it a lot.
Yep. Yeah.
And so in my heart, I thought, okay, well, this is how I fill up, which just makes me an introvert. I'm married to an extrovert. I have two of my three children are extroverts. I know what an extrovert is. I am not one. But I can hang with them. And so certainly I must be an ambivert.
Yeah. And that's a misconception by a lot of introverts.
Yeah.
Introverts can absolutely turn it on, especially when they are in a role or supporting a cause they believe in.
Yes.
When there's structure, we can all flip into that other side of who we are. It's just not the best fit for us long term. Mm-hmm. You know, like you've said, being at a conference for hours and hours and hours. Yeah. I was on a Zoom call the other night with there were three introverts, one extrovert. And by the end of the call, the introverts, you could tell, were like, all right. And that extrovert was just getting more and more revved up. Like, you know, and so that's kind of how you can tell by the end of the event. Some people are like, I'm going back to my room. And others are like, where's the after party? Like, let's go.
Oh, and so, I never want the after party people in my room. You know how they pair you up? Because I taught at She Speaks for years and years. And you always, we have these big suites. And so they would put staff and volunteers to where you had 3 to 4 people to a room. And I remember almost praying, like, please let me have Lynn or Amy. Or because these other women would come in who were so fun and so awesome. And I wasn't worried so much about the fact that they were going to be on and wanted to continue. I was concerned that I was going to be like, man, Susie is a dud, you know, because what I wanted to do after a 12-hour day is I wanted to go to bed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Because you'd given everything you had, and you also need time to process, to empty your net, to get ready for the next day.
To start for the next day. Yeah. So, yeah, there's this story that my friend Lynn tells, and she is also 100% introvert. And we had always kind of finagled our way to where we could room together because we knew. It was like an old married couple. You come in at the end of the day. How was your day? Great. How was yours? Awesome. Good night. Good night. You know, and that was, we knew the pattern. And one time she got all of these young interns that stayed in her room with her. And she said, Susie, at 3 o'clock, they were still perched on the edge of my bed, you know, and they were like, hey, tell us about this. We want to know about this. Here, pour your wisdom. And she said, I'm laying there thinking, get out of my room. And so such a different view of how we fill up and what we need. I think that's really important.
Yeah.
Well, I want to talk about what will help us be who God made us to be. But for years, I felt like there was something wrong with me and that the whole goal was to get me to not be an introvert. To have me be more outgoing, you know, to be in ministry, I needed to be, you know, super, you know, on all the time, all day, every day, multiple events, all of those things. And so I thought it was my responsibility to be something completely different and that how I was wired was completely off.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes. And I hear that a lot from introverts and it breaks my heart. And I have felt that way too. Yeah. And that just comes from, we live in a time and culture that's a little more extrovert centric. Yes. That hasn't been the case throughout all of human history. It's not even the case everywhere in the world. In Eastern cultures, it tends to be more introvert dominated. In Finland is an introverted country and also keeps getting voted the happiest country in the world, like year after year. And how they got there was
how random.
10 years ago, they had this big marketing meeting where they brought like 100 marketing experts to Helsinki. And they were like, we need to increase tourism in Finland. What are we going to do about this? Because they were known as a quiet country. And it seems like the natural thing would be like, make Finland the next Las Vegas, you know? Yeah. And they were like, they said, no, in our noisy world, silence is a valuable resource.
Yeah.
Quiet and peace are valuable resources. We are going to lean into that. And that's what they did. And their tourism exploded. They started making that list every year. Yeah. And so I love that because I think it's what we as introverts need to do also is say, you know what? The way I'm designed, whether I'm an introvert or an extrovert, is intentionally there because God designed me that way.
Mm-hmm.
And the body of Christ works best when we are all fully who we're created to be.
That's really
good. That I think in our world, especially right now, where it is so much of it's noisy and overwhelming, we need the quiet strengths of introverts. Yeah. We need that reflectiveness. We need that intentionality. We need that gentleness and that willing to listen to different perspectives. And again, I love my extrovert brothers and sisters, and I'm so grateful for their boldness and ability to take action and everything they bring to the table. But I do hear from so many introverts that they feel like they need to change, and it's just not true, you know?
Yeah. Well, the question was, what will help us be who God made us? And what I've realized during COVID is that I need deep conversation. And so that has really been stripped away. And all that was offered was news or shallow conversation on social media. And so I started, actually did it as a form of ministry, launching a book called Joykeeper. And so I began to have these together conversations. I have a YouTube channel where I do this. So I thought I was doing this for ministry, Holly. But what I realized after the first three conversations, because I would end them and then literally weep, is that there was a part of me that since last March has not been filled up in a way that really mattered. And I remember one day having a conversation, and these are literally like 5-minute conversations, but then we would, turn off the recording and continue to talk. And I had one woman who would just begin to pray over me and with me. I had another woman who just said, hey, let's talk about this. And then, and I could see on the other side that they were hungry for it too, you know?
Yeah.
And so now after about 6 or 7 different conversations that I've had in the past 2 weeks, I'm not going to stop. As long as we're isolated from each other, if I don't take care of this part of the way that God made me, then I feel like that there's going to be some sort of emotional, spiritual, physical consequence.
Yeah. And I think that level of awareness is what helps us be who God made us, saying, you know, what do I specifically need and where do I add value to others?
Sure.
You know,
I was thinking about, I hear this a lot in ministry and talking with people, the extroverts always say I'm too much. And so I've got to, tone that down. And then I hear all the introverts saying I'm not enough.
Yeah.
You know, and so when thinking about, you know, how can I tap into how God has truly wired me, it's just to know we need you to be too much. You know, we need you to be quiet and taking everything in and waiting for the right moment to say that one thing that, you know, God's laid on your heart. So I think that the whole thing is to not make us completely the opposite of what we are, but like just tuned in and surrendered to it. So for that extrovert saying, I am so too much and I overwhelm people. No, we really need you.
We do.
We really need you to sometimes take the lead. My friend Carrie says it's we need our designated extrovert. And so I love going into whatever it is, whether it's church or a meeting, and looking for that person. And that's my sidekick, you know?
Yeah. And then often extroverts need a designated introvert, I found.
Yes.
You know, like I'm with a friend and I'm like, you're the designated extrovert. She's like, all right, I'll work the room and have some fun. And she's like, you're the designated introvert. Someone starts crying and telling a long story, then you got to stay with them. So and we're like, all right, let's do this thing. So, you know, that's what I mean by complementary pairing, that I really think that we are better together.
Yeah.
And I think I sent out a survey to my blog subscribers asking, are you an introvert or extrovert? What's your biggest challenge as an introvert or extrovert? So about 73% of my people were introverts. The rest were extroverts. And the extrovert's biggest challenge was loneliness. That's what I heard over and over again, is I have a lot of surface connections. I'm longing for deeper bonds.
Yeah.
And that surprised me, because I look at my extrovert friends and I think, wow, they're so connected. I need to do that more.
Yeah.
That's the last thing I would have expected. But I think for all of us, we're designed for quality relationships, and we are in a world that pushes us to have quantity instead. And so I think for all of us, just saying, how do we come together as who we're created to be and connect in meaningful ways.
Yeah.
So as you two have made at least some peace with being introverts, what helps with that? I mean, if someone's listening, I guess whether introvert or extrovert, and saying, I have felt like I need to be different than who I am, what's a practical step that helps us embrace that?
Yeah, I think pinpointing something that is a strength about being an introvert. And for me, that is, like I said, having those conversations. And so not only recognizing that, but actually taking action on it. Think about one person that because of COVID, because of isolation, that you love to talk to, but you haven't set up a time to have a conversation. Let it be a FaceTime call or a Zoom call, or there's so many options, Facebook Messenger rooms, whatever it is. But have that conversation you've been longing to have and give it space.
I would pick one article to read, whether you're an extrovert or an introvert. I need more information to help me understand sometimes.
Or somebody wrote a really great book.
Yeah, I know. Or the book. So, but like I need to like study and then like settle in. So whether it's just talking to someone else who may be an extrovert or introvert and just saying, hey, me too, like hearing that from someone else, I think is so helpful, just so you don't feel so alone and isolated in however God's wired you to be.
Yeah, I think confronting our assumptions with information can be really helpful sometimes, because we sort of just pick up these myths or beliefs or stereotypes. Yeah. Often they're just stereotypes that just aren't accurate. And so, the great thing is there's so much information out there now that says this is what it actually looks like or this is what it actually means. And I think that's been really helpful for me. And I know we've talked about this conversation on another episode, but I find in this context too, just asking someone what makes you feel loved is really helpful, because that can be really different between introverts and extroverts. And in marriage, in parenting, in whatever situation it is, we talk a lot about the five love languages, but it also matters what volume we speak them in. You know, like I'm a words of affirmation person, but I don't want you pulling me up in front of a room full of people to affirm me.
Absolutely not.
I want you to write a note and slip it under my door and let me read it.
Tell me
in private. Where some of our expert friends might love to be able to have that moment where they get that more public acknowledgement. And both are great. Yeah. It matters. Just, and so I think knowing, okay, what does this person in my life need to feel loved, and what volume do they need it to be in for that message to be received well?
Yeah. And if you're like me and you think you're somewhere in the middle and you want to discover that you're not and what that looks like, Holly, you have a quiz.
I do. I have a free 1 minute quiz on my site called What Percent Introvert Are You? Because none of us are actually 100% introvert or extrovert. We're somewhere on a continuum. So you can hop on over to hollygirth.com and take that. I scored 96% introvert. Wow. So I'm pretty far on that end. But yeah, we would love for you to do that. And then you could share your results with us in the More Than Small Talk Facebook group.
And next week, we're going to be talking about strategic solitude.
Tell us about your book.
So my book is The Powerful Purpose of Introverts, Why the World Needs You to Be You. So it is full of more brain science and insights and 9 specific strengths that I discovered introverts have. And so I say it is for you if you are an introvert or if you love, lead, or share life with one. So right now, it's still pre-order season, so you can get over $75 of pre-order bonuses, including a brand new online class I created called 7 Ways to Thrive as an Introvert. You buy the book for someone else, you can gift those bonuses to them. So that is not going to be around forever, so I hope everybody will go ahead and get those too. So whoever God has made you, go out there and be that person this week, and we are cheering you on.
And that's it for today's episode. Thanks for going deeper, becoming freer, and connecting with us. More Than Small Talk is a part of the KLRC Podcast Network and is produced by Kara Culver. Show notes and resources are available on the More Than Small Talk page on klrc.com. You can also join us in our Facebook group. Subscribe to More Than Small Talk on your favorite app so you won't ever miss an episode.